think there's a huge issue here.
I can't... Yeah, I struggle with it, to be honest.
It's like walking a tightrope.
You might feel it's the right thing to do.
How I should say something.
There is a conflict.
I would tend to check that.
I'm muddled on this.
I really struggle with it.
So this is an opportunity to fondle that stray chin hair that pops up, the whiskers above your lips. Because this week's Modern Dilemma is about facial hair. And we'll call the Life Matters listener Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable writes, a friend has an excess of facial hair, which she probably can't see because of her sight. I've tried all sorts of ways of raising her awareness, even suggesting a trip to her local beauty salon of the problem, without any result. Bothersome facial hair is a problem for all of us as we get older, but it seems like a very taboo subject. And joining me this morning is clinical psychologist and author Sally-Anne McCormack and philosopher and author Dr. Damon Young. Welcome back to you both.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Damon Young, what's your first response to this?
Okay, my first response, well, I shaved this morning, just so you all know. I'm in the mood here. Look, first of all, this is not just an aesthetic choice. This is a social norm. This is often seen as a moral duty. So according to some of the research, women saw smooth skin as attractive on themselves, something they just do to feel beautiful. But on others, it was a duty, and women who didn't remove that hair were disgusting, to quote the study. Now, in other words, this becomes something you ought to do, and not just on your face. It also becomes something you ought to do on your legs, your arms, your vulva and so on. Now, we are talking about US college students, so let's just bear that in mind. Yeah. But another study suggests that women who had more facial hair will often have much higher levels of social anxiety, they were more self-conscious about their body and so on. Now, the authors...
Really? Or they might be quite the opposite, I wonder. But anyway, go on.
Well, the authors of the study suggest that... the social significance of their hair is what leaves them anxious or worried. It's not the hair itself, it's other people and their expectations. Now, I'd like to get back to the exceptions to this, but we can talk about something else in the meantime.
We will indeed. Sally-Anne McCormack, I wonder if it's not bothering her friend, perhaps it might be the listener themselves that needs to ask, why is the hair bothering them so much?
That was actually my first thought, was how, you know, is she just simply being judgmental? One of the great things that I'm finding with the ageing process, because I'm approaching 50 now, is that Mother Nature's actually quite kind. And as my eyes are deteriorating, my wrinkles seem to be disappearing and so do my chin hairs. So I'm actually quite happy about the process.
Bring it on.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have to be careful when we... look at friends and think about, you know, their appearance or... we actually may be talking about our own issues and our own fears rather than theirs.
Well, what might be some of her issues and fears? Just to extend the thought experiment here.
Yeah, I think that the woman that is concerned about her friend is probably, you know, very concerned about her own facial hair or appearance, because not everyone does. Not everyone really gives... you know, that much care to how they're looking. One of the things that I would probably do if she really believes that this situation is something likely to cause her friend some embarrassment or, you know, the people are going to talk about it, is perhaps raising her own, you know, concerns about herself, saying, oh, look, I've got to go back and, you know, have this looked at or, you know, have it plucked, bleached, electrolysis, whatever it is that she decides to do.
So talk about her own hairs in company of her friend.
Her own hair,
dropping
her own
hints.
Aging process. Yes, and if her friend doesn't bite, then drop it. It's probably your own concern. My only exception to this would be if there's excessive facial hair that wasn't there before, because that may actually be a more of an underlying hormonal issue, and that might be something that you may decide to raise.
Yeah, so, I mean, Damon Young, if she did decide to broach it, I mean, personally, I think she should stay well away, frankly, unless she sees that some harm is coming of it. If she did decide to broach it with her friend, how might she do that?
Well, for me, the important step is for her to step back first and recognise that some people might, as we've said, resist this or simply not care. So, for example, in one bit of research, people who identified as lesbians or as feminists in this particular study were more likely to welcome body hair, let alone just to tolerate it. So, in other words, the fear of hair can be something to overturn or reject if you're supported by a peer group or your friends, or you have a strong identity that allows you to sort of rethink what it means. You don't have to bow to social pressure. Now, bearing that in mind, bearing in mind that this becomes an open question now, hair's not suddenly a bad thing, what can our listener do? Okay, she might want to talk first about aging in general. Introduce this as a general topic, not just about hair. How does she feel about growing older? Hair can be part of this, so it becomes actually a mutual self-discovery. How do you feel about this? Mm. What my mother-in-law calls aches and pains, bits of your body that don't work now that once were, or new insights. What does this all mean? And then you might be able to say, you know what really bugs me? These little hairs right here.
How do you feel about it? It's a lot of effort to go to.
The reason it's a lot of effort and the reason it's worth it, if she does decide to broach it, is because it's not about hair. Firstly, it's about the existential issues of aging. Secondly, it's about friendship. This is really about the listener's relationship with her friend and learning more about each other.
Mm.
Now, if she chooses to ignore the issue of hair, which personally I would, well and good. But if she doesn't, take it as a genuine opportunity to learn something profound rather than just policing someone's body.
Yeah, I love that. I love that suggestion. Sally Ann McCormack, what are your thoughts about... Damon made the point before that we ascribe a moral dimension to the hair that we decide to keep or remove. And you know, you often have heard women sort of talk about it as if it's a major task in personal hygiene, you know, removing all that hair. What is it? What is at the heart of that pressure that women and now increasingly men seem to feel? I mean, not everyone feels it, and I think we need to make that clear. As Liz Morrigan is tweeting, she's on a roll. Love your hair everywhere. And she says, there's a woman I know who has lovely soft hair on her face, lovely to touch. And she also says, I am disgusting.
Yeah, look, I think that it's, you know, one of the things that I've written down for myself as a little note is don't be directive, be supportive. She may not care. Mm. I actually had a person actually comment to me about one of my little, or large, actually long stray hairs one stage.
Did they?
At one stage. Yeah, they did. And they said, I always carry tweezers around and, you know, before I get out of the car, I'll have a little pluck at it. And I just thought, gee, that was actually really rude. I frankly didn't really care about it at that moment. And all she did was make me self-conscious for the rest of that day. As I said with the aging process, my eyesight is slightly deteriorating. I think that's great. I think that's Mother Nature's design. And I think that we should stop putting our judgments on other people. It is one of the social norms, but, you know, for now, for this current time, that a lot of people are suggesting that, you know, barefaced and actually hairless is one of the things that seems to be, you know, a current trend at the moment, at least here. It'll come and go, and, you know, I think that we're making too big a deal of it. If our friend is happy, they're enjoying their life, they're not saying that people are staring at them as they walk down the street, or they're not,
well, they might,
you know,
wouldn't know if their
anything.
Sight is failing them a bit.
Yeah, exactly. But Damon, they don't care.
I mean, Damon, finally to you, I have reflected quite a bit over the years on the amount of energy that is expended by women on hair removal that could be spent on so many other exciting, influential pursuits.
Yes, I mean, this is sort of the central theme of my book, Distraction, is you only have the one life.
Yeah.
You only have so much energy and so much time. Do you really want to look back on your deathbed and say, I am so glad I removed all that hair, because I could have been doing silly things like reading a brilliant book or falling in love or spending more time with my children or going for a run. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things, it is sort of literally and figuratively quite superficial.
Look, I think you're both wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning.
Pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
Sally Ann McCormack and Dr. Damon Young, Sally's a clinical psychologist and author. Damon is also an author and a philosopher. And we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with your modern dilemmas. You can do it via the Life Matters homepage, abc.net.au/Radio National. Look for Life Matters and it's all there. You email us. Please send them our way. They can be personal, they can be political, they can be social, they can be of your family, whatever.